The rug was pulled out from underneath her. She didn't feel confident. She didn't know if she could make it. Yet she rose like the phoenix, leading herself and her family to a new beginning. And you can too. Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show, Lady Boss, knows what women want to be free, to speak their voice, live in financial freedom, and build businesses that radiate wealth, leaving legacies we can be proud of. Join Cornelia, Dana, and Diane the first and fourth Friday every month as they raise the roof to inspire confidence in all women.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the show, Handle the Lump, Heal Your Life, Part 8. We've got an amazing show for you today. Dana Terrio, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
How excited are we for what it is that we're going to be talking about, right?
Over the moon.
Over the moon. It's hard to stay grounded. So you and I have been manifesting our world trusted, beloved, renowned guest that we're going to be introducing you to for the last 6 months. What do you have to say for yourself, Dana? What do you have to say for yourself?
Christmas came early when you gifted me this confirmation. I bow to your eminence, Dr. Northrup. You have no idea how I have been such a longtime student of your life work. I'm so excited.
Thank you so much. Wonderful.
We are so excited because we're going to be sharing our own personal stories of how you have empowered us. But first, we want to, Dana, do you have anything else you want to say before about the Handle Your Lump, Heal Your Life series? Because this is your baby, honey. You have created this magnificent handle. It's a handle, babe. It's a handle. Handle the lump, heal your life. You know, changing lives all over the world for women to become empowered, which is exactly what Dr. Christiane Northrup stands for and represents for all of us. So we all have our stories, but do you have anything else you want to say before I introduce our beloved guest?
Sure. The series Handle the Lump is transactional on handling the lumps and bumps of life with breast cancer. Heal Your Life is very inspired by Louise Hay, very transformational. So really, this product that came into my awareness through my doctor, Veronique DeSaulnier, Dr. V is known as, this is a beautiful tool because my mission is to empower women and growing girls to go more low tech and high touch. And if Jack Canfield and Dr. Northrup had a baby, her name would be First Lady Focus Day. I want to inspire my movement for the first of every month for all women and growing girls to take practical and tactical care of their breasts with this wonderful training tool. So that is what I want to say about our model.
And where can people get that beautiful model? It's called My Breast Friend. And where can people get it?
At mybreastfriend.com/Dana.
Wonderful. And we'll put the link. We'll put the link in the description below. So you'll be able to have it, have it at your fingertips. Now, without any further ado, our beloved guest, Christiane Northrup, MD, is a visionary, pioneer, and beloved authority in the field of women's health and wellness. A board-certified OBGYN physician who graduated from Dartmouth Medical School and did her residency at Tufts New England Medical Center. Dr. Northrup was also an assistant clinical professor of OBGYN Maine Medical Center for over 20 years. Recognizing the unity of body, mind, and spirit, Dr. Northrup helps empower women to tune into their innate inner wisdom to transform their health and truly flourish. Dr. Northrup's work has been featured on Super Soul Sunday, on OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Show, the Today Show, the NBC Nightly News, The View, Rachel Ray, Good Morning America, 2020, and the Dr. Oz Show. Women clearly trust Dr. Northrup's approach. In 2013, Reader's Digest named her one of the top most trusted people in America. And in 2016, she was named one of Oprah Winfrey's Super Soul 100, a group of leaders who are using their voices and talent to awaken humanity. It's my deep honor and pleasure to bring to you Dr. Christiane Northrup. Welcome to the show today.
What a pleasure. Thank you so much. Thank you.
It's so wonderful that you're here, because this book that I'm holding in my hand, by the way, there is a link that we're going to be showing throughout the broadcast that people can get this link. There's an audio book that's available, a special price for the audio book for all those people that love listening to audio books and the paperback together. There's a special price. But I truly feel that this book is a book that needs to be the recommended reading for the entire world.
You know, I have to agree with you, because it took me about 40 years to figure it out. I mean, to figure out, why did I feel like I wasn't doing enough? Why did I keep attracting the same kind of person over and over? One of the things about your work is that you're teaching women how to trust themselves and create a legacy. And if you have somebody in your life, a parent maybe, or a spouse, even a child, who's constantly undermining your efforts because that's how they fuel their life, but you keep thinking you're doing something wrong, you need to uncover that pattern, because of all the things that I have ever taught, this is the one missing link. You know, the women who are, they're exercising, they're taking supplements, they're taking care of themselves, but nothing seems to do it until they realize, oh yeah, I keep leaking my energy toward that person who does not have my best interest in mind. They are just getting what's called narcissistic supply from me. And this is something that took me a long time to figure out, because it's not recognized in our culture. Energy vampires have kind of run the planet. We're in the post-Me Too era. Harvey Weinstein is an energy vampire on steroids. And then, of course, we had all the rest of them, Epstein, even Bill Cosby. And for years, like starting in the 80s, my patients would sit on the couch in my office and they would tell me what was going on with their health, why they were bleeding and all that. And my colleagues, my whole profession said, oh, your patients are crazy. We only have normal women. No, what I had was the women who were telling me the truth, because I believed them. But it really wasn't until my own experience of, I had my own Harvey Weinstein, a businessman I was working with. And I thought, like many women, that I needed this guy to do it, that I couldn't do it on my own. And later, at the end of the whole thing, I found out he had 4 different passports, a real sociopath. We have the show Dirty John, which is an amazing podcast and an amazing TV show now, that shows how charming and charismatic energy vampires can be. There is, of course, a spectrum. So, you know, there's some people, they're a little self-centered. You can deal with that. Then on the other end of the spectrum, there's the sociopaths, the psychopaths. They know how to get what they want, and they have no conscience. You have a conscience. You want to help the entire world. Now, if they think that helping the entire world is going to get them money, they're going to say anything it takes, but they're not sincere. And after about 2 years, if you're in a relationship with one of them, they will start to show who they really are after about 2 years. And there's this, I want to tell your listeners, because I'll bet many of them are in this category, of women with super traits of conscientiousness, loyalty, hard work ethic. These are the women who run businesses, who are federal judges, lawyers, doctors, who seem to always get in relationship with the wrong man. Here's why. This is the work of Sandra Brown, and she did the studies at Purdue. There's a certain subset of us who are literally constitutionally blind to the darkness of others. We are the can-do people who will start a talk radio show like you, run a business, get a legacy going, get financially set. We can't see the darkness and manipulation in others. It's almost as innate as our eye color. So one of the things that I've taught in Dodging Energy Vampires You need a couple of friends who can see it and are truth tellers. And they'll say, what were you thinking? I mean, because you give everyone the benefit of the doubt. We believe that only hurt people hurt other people. And it's just not true. And it's the hardest thing for people in the transformational space. You mentioned your work is based on a lot of Louise Hay's stuff. And of course, my publishing house is Hay House. And I knew Louise personally for years. And Louise had a very good instinct for darkness. Very good. Like she would, sometimes a new author would come in, you know, and try to dazzle them. And she was so fierce. And she'd say, get them out of the room. I mean, I just love that about Louise. I was always, oh my God, the person just needs me to heal them, right? Wrong. No, they wrong. They would just take your life energy. And you can tell when you have been in an interaction with someone and you're so tired that you're just kind of looking for the nearest bed. I mean, the nearest couch. I say this story in the book. I was visiting a very famous woman and suddenly I felt like falling asleep in the carrot ginger soup at her gorgeous place. I'm digging my nails into my palm to keep from falling asleep. I did her tarot cards. I did her astrologic chart. I did everything I knew to keep myself awake. And then I realized I can't spend the weekend here. I can't do it, or I will just be asleep in the bathroom somewhere. Now, this is an unconscious pattern. I want people to know this is not something that you're doing consciously. There's just a kind of person that does not source their life the way you do, from the energy of the earth, from the energy of the heavens, from God, however you explain God. They source it from conning other people, from getting the energy of other people. And I have a friend who is a psychologist for the Diocese of Brooklyn. And he said, I've been in this business for 36 years, and I know that I can still be conned by an energy vampire if they are charismatic enough or good looking enough. That's how clever they are. And as Sandra Brown says, they are sicker than we are smart. And as I'm talking to you, I can almost hear the listeners and their minds going, oh, because the names start to come up. They're the people who only call you when they want something. Mm-hmm. They don't just, you know, like send you a text thinking about you. But there's a part of us, this little wounded little girl inside. Oh, they care about me. You know, this person is larger than life and they care about me. No, they want something. They're moving on Saturday. They want to borrow your car. So that's how it works. You won't hear from them. The other thing is they never seem to go away. If they, you're laughing, they just don't. I had a slew of them just at the end of 2019.
Oh, wow.
Emailing, texting. And I thought, wow, people that I haven't heard from in whatever, you know, it's like they're testing. Can I get some more narcissistic supply? And I used to be so generous, you know, so because of a, here's our part of the street is we need to look at the unhealed part of us, because they have this, I call it malignant intuition. They know exactly what you've always longed to hear. So if it is in my practice, and anyone's primary care practice is going to be about 25 to 30% this kind of person. They don't really want to get well. They just want your energy. But so in the early days, you can imagine, I'm a holistic physician. I'm talking about vitamin D. I'm talking about the second chakra, all this stuff. So most of my profession thought I was nuts, but I'm trying to fit in, right? Yeah. So I'd have patients come in who agreed with me and they had sought out this kind of a doctor. But the bad ones would say, oh, thank God I found you. You're the only person who could ever heal me. Now, that's a hook that I would impale myself on. You're the only person. Well, that's never the case. We attract what we need in the moment, and it can come from anywhere. And I had a big, you know, rescue complex, like a rescue addiction, like many, many women do. I can help you. And then in a romantic relationship, that's where things get, you know, like, oh, you're the most beautiful woman and you're so sexy. And, you know, and especially as you get into midlife and beyond, and our society says, that's it for you. You know, you're never going to find love, or all the men want someone who's 20 years younger, all that stuff that we have in our heads. Then when someone comes along, like my particular sociopath, and says, man, you know, you are the best thing ever born. And all he wanted was my reputation, my email list, my, you know, he was never going to be there for me. And the story is so funny. You can't make these things up. He took me to Denmark and put me up in the bridal suite, the honeymoon suite, where he had been with his first wife. Now, luckily, I didn't go alone. I mean, I went with business associates, but he was trying to woo me. I was just trying to get a business done. He was putting all this other stuff, but that's because he could see in me an empty place that's no longer empty at this particular point. So we've got to look at what is the part of us that attracts this, because we have, especially the old souls. Now, let me explain what I mean by old souls. Mm-hmm. And on your program, we can talk about this stuff because it's transformation. You know, if we were on a different show, I would just say, go and read George Simon's book In Sheep's Clothing, because he is a clinical psychologist who spent years and years teaching therapists how to recognize this type of character. I believe there's this old soul empath type. Those of us who've had lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, we've had particular skill sets of being shamans, being interested in crystals, being interested in angels, maybe seeing visions, all of that. And in the mainstream culture run by darkness with a capital D, we've been the ones kicked off the mountain after delivering the queen's baby, burned at the stake, that kind of thing. And so we are particularly vulnerable to, you know, we're kind of like bracing ourselves for, oh God, here it comes again, because our culture doesn't believe in anything except by what we can measure and what's logical and linear. When I was in med school, I was dating a man who said, I don't understand how a woman of your intelligence can believe in angels. You know, it's like that. But our biggest gift is when we own this part of ourselves loud and proud. I just went to see the movie Frozen 2 with my granddaughter. Everything is in there. I couldn't believe it. Disney has it right. I thought, oh, whoa, how do we right the wrongs of the past that we have done to the feminine, to the planet, to indigenous populations? It's all in there. There's about how water maintains memory, like the messages in water. It's all in a mainstream children's film called Frozen 2. It's happening. The light is getting lighter. The dark is getting darker. You see it everywhere. So we're starting to, and I don't want people to think things are getting worse, because you tend to think, oh my God, this is the end of it. No. It means finally, this darkness that's been hiding and manipulating us, pulling the strings like a puppet for decades, is now out where we can see it. And the more women trust themselves, which is your work, the more you can give women a lifeline to trust themselves, the stronger we get, until we become emotionally detached from the energy vampire. And then we just laugh. And we're not trying to heal them. In fact, let me just say this, because there are going to be people listening, because I get this all the time on my Facebook page. I get, that's not being very kind. You're being very judgmental. These people need love too. All of that is true. And the most loving thing you can do is allow them to hit bottom, or stop being a snack for them because it'll keep them from hitting bottom. Now, in my experience, they don't change. And there's a saying, narcissists don't age well. So they tend to get worse with age because youth is such a defense, right? If you're really good looking and you're 21, you can get away with just about anything. But when you get to be about 65, not so much. So they get more and more desperate. But our job is to withdraw our energy so that they can feel what it's like to not have you. Of course, okay, now this is the bad news for those of your listeners who've been married to one of these dudes for years. Mm-hmm. When they finally see the truth of it, and I've said to friends of mine who were married to narcissists, are you going to be okay when this guy you've been married to for 25 years, 30 years, finds another woman in 15 minutes? When you've finally had enough, are you willing to deal with the heartbreak of him finding someone else in 15 minutes? By the way, the same is true with men who go for women with borderline personality disorder. I mean, those are the women who have been married 5-6 times. And, you know, you say to yourself, how does she keep coming up with, you know, man after man after man? Because the good men, the empathetic men, the old soul empath men, they believe they can save that woman, you see. And then she just drains the living life out of them because you can't please them. No matter what you do, it's not enough. Because the only way it's ever going to be enough, right, is for us to source our life from what is the true source. And I had a business partner once who was an alcoholic, and she finally got into recovery in AA, and she was at a meeting once. And so what she said was, I can make everything my higher power except what actually is. And I think that's right.
Yeah.
That's the deal. And then there's another thing about why I wrote the book. And that's because I'm seeing all these mystery illnesses, chronic Lyme, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, Hashimoto's thyroiditis, and just mystery stuff. And almost every time there's a mother in their life who's a narcissist, or there's a brother, or there's an uncle, or there's a child that they're trying so hard to heal. And here's what we have to learn. We have to learn the ability to withstand someone being angry with us. It's hard. And that's why Cheryl Richardson, my friend Cheryl Richardson, who wrote, you know, The Art of Extreme Self-Care, she's got a chapter, which I love. It's called Let Me Disappoint You. Because you're never, ever, ever going to download your own power unless you're willing to deal with someone else's rage that you're not doing it for them. You're not stepping up. And then they'll say things to you like, you're being callous, or you're pretty selfish. In fact, what I would like women to do as a mantra is when someone says, you're being selfish, which just means you would like to sleep, you would like to eat, you would like to have a little money to yourself. That's being selfish. To have a boot camp where we learn how to withstand and stay with ourselves when someone else is calling us selfish. Mm-hmm. Now, I remember a time, so let me out myself. Years ago, I had a patient whose daughter was in labor at another hospital where I didn't even have privileges. And the daughter was about to have a cesarean. My patient called me and said, would you please call my daughter's doctor and talk him into preventing that cesarean? Now imagine that boundary violation of her daughter and the other doctor. Here's the sick part. There was a part of me that felt like I actually could help if I intervened and somehow got involved. And you know what? It's possible that I could have. Was that the right thing to do? No. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. There's a TED Talk that I just posted on Facebook, and it's trauma that is not transformed is transferred. Oh, yeah. Isn't that a great one?
That is, you know, I really, you're speaking to this. I really wanted to bring this up later, but here it is now. And that was, I heard you say back in 2011, when I went to the doctor and I had two big, huge cysts on my ovaries. And I was already doing the emotional core work. I was already a coach. I was already into my own self-healing. And I went there and they told me that I am a candidate for endometrium cancer. They told me that they want to take my ovaries out. And this, you know, they put the fear, this fear in me.
Oh, it runs the system, fear.
And I came home. I spoke to a friend. You mentioned friends. I spoke to a friend and this is what she said to me. She goes, you're doing all this work with people. Heal it yourself. Heal it yourself. And then she goes, you know, now it's time for you to really practice what you're preaching. This is what she said to me. Talk about a truth teller. But here's the thing. I heard you say back in 2011, this is what you said. You said that cysts, anger in the cysts on the creative womb.
Yeah.
Is anger at not having an outlet for expression.
Yeah.
That's what I heard you say back then. And that is when you empowered me, because that's what I needed to hear as truth, because I was so angry at being a light worker way ahead of my time with creative ideas, with such a powerful voice of healing and light and love, that I had nowhere to put my energy. I didn't know where to put it.
Yeah, because it was... You know, it's the old phrase, we are the people we've been waiting for. Yes. So, you know, so we've been looking for the structures, the outlets for what we've had to share. And guess what? We had to create them. I mean, when I wrote Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom, which, by the way, I've just updated. I love it. And that is the first edition. I've now finished the fifth edition, which comes out in May 2020. But when I first wrote it, I had to invent a language of women's health. The only language I learned as a board certified physician was the language of women's wounds, women's dis-ease. I had to come up with what is symbolically, biosymbolically, what is the womb space? What is all of this if we remove the imprint of patriarchy? What is the strength in here? What is the power in here? What is this telling us? And the thing about you that's amazing is you listened. You listened. You had a part of you that was open enough to listen. And that's the remarkable thing, because for every one of you, there's probably 100.
But I just want to say, you're going to love this. That day, I canceled my appointment with cancer. I programmed my DNA. I canceled my appointment with cancer. And that day I said, no, I'm overriding this. And then I got rid of my anger. I healed those cysts. I changed my diet and I started creating outlets for my creative expression because of what you had said. I wrote my book.
Thank you.
Peace, the flip side to anger, because I was enraged at this world.
That's beautiful. That is just beautiful.
And wonderful. Yeah. And so this is, we are my co-host as well, Dana. She has had a very amazing transformational story as well, because she had her breast cancer overcome. And, so you have empowered us, and I want to give Dana an opportunity, because she loves you so much. You know, we both do. We're just crazy. We're junkies. We're Christian Northrop junkies. And so Dana wants to ask you questions. So go ahead, Dana.
Let's do it. Yeah, great.
Oh, you have no idea the biggest girl crush I have on you. My early mentor, Crystal Andrews, you are with our SWAT Institute, and I just love you. It was required reading, but it was a Bible for me, that book that you're talking about. So I look forward to the new edition. That book, when I went under the knife for my mastectomy, the backstory for me, everyone has a Me Too cancer story, but I was 20 years of being overscreened and ultimately underdiagnosed.
Oh, yeah.
I was so nervous to go under the knife. But you, that book, I went back and I reread that book for years. And it, you talked about how to prepare for surgery. And I did the hypnotherapy and it prepared me. When I went in for surgery, they checked my vitals and they said, do you work in healthcare? And I was just, and I was like, so nervous. I did a natural birth, not to be heroic. I didn't want an epidural. I just, that book, I cannot tell you how it saved me in every way. Just, it was just incredible. And I love in this book so much. You talk about a couple, so many things I want to say. The sweet spot of indifference. It has to come to that place, that sweet spot, because we make the mistake of believing in the best in others. That's and with this one, the discerning difference is honoring our anger. I'm the author of an upcoming book, Honor Her Anger, On Her Honor. And the big thing is honoring anger. And you talk about righteous anger, the injustices. There's a difference with, and you talk about how it's jet fuel. And I just love that because Cornelia and I talk about that, anger and emotions to heal. So I really, I like that piece about the righteous anger. It's, and our immune system has a moral compass.
Yes, yes.
That's so important.
That's right. I learned this from Dr. Mario Martinez. And he had worked with Buddhist monks. And he said they have an unbelievably high rate of type 2 diabetes. And he said, here's what he thinks it is. When you go right to loving kindness, which is what a Tibetan monk is taught, go right to loving kindness, even though the Chinese are raping all the nuns and killing everybody. You know, you'd think you might want to be a little pissed at that. But they go right to loving kindness. And what that does is it increases beta endorphin, which is a natural morphine-like substance that actually numbs pain. But the problem with that is that you literally become numb. And if anyone listened to that podcast, Dirty John, you will hear this kind of loving kindness trance that this woman is in, making all kinds of excuses for a guy who's so dangerous, so dangerous. But she's like, no, I'm a Christian. And I went right to forgiveness. No. As Mario says, you don't go to forgiveness. You go to anger first, then and feel it.
Yes.
Then you can go to forgiveness.
Which is
honor the anger first. Feel the feeling first before forgiveness. Yes.
Which is why we can't be in an inner city. In the inner city, those children that, you know, those kids that are in the inner city, and we can't go in there and start teaching meditation practices when we really need to teach them how to feel their feelings, feel their rage, so that they don't act on their emotion, that they don't act that energy out, right?
That's right.
And then we can teach them to be calm. I mean, I heard a talk once where, you know, the Dalai Lama was with his group and they were bypassing. I call it a spiritual bypass.
It is.
Bypassing the anger and they're bypassing. And he literally took his fist and he slammed it on the table and he got pissed. He goes, no, this is what we need to do.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, what have women been taught? Don't be angry. Men are allowed to put their fist through a wall. Women aren't. So what do? We get depressed. So that's why, you know, everyone's on Zoloft and Paxil, which I remember when Prozac just came out and I had a woman came in, she was on Prozac and she says to me, here's what I notice. The tire on my car looks almost flat. But I don't seem to care. She said, I think I should care. And I thought, yeah, that's what we do. We just drug the jet fuel, the righteous anger, and make women think something's wrong with us. When in fact, if we harness that, like you both have done so beautifully, the world would change in an instant. You know, is it Florida Scott Maxwell? I think she said, If one woman told the truth about her life, the world would, you know, go up in a flame ball. And so for me, this is so satisfying because I'm seeing the two of you have been on this same path with me all along. What I'm seeing is that there's a lot of millennial women who haven't quite gotten there yet.
Or even there's women that are past 65, 70 that have never gotten in contact with their anger. And you spoke about it earlier, these illnesses that are coming up, these weird illnesses that are coming up, because I wanted you to talk about anger in the physical body, what it does.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what it does. Okay. So the anger that you're not expressing actually creates an entire body of inflammatory chemicals called eicosanoids. So that's cytokines, prostaglandins. These are all the stuff, by the way, that drugs like Celebrex, ibuprofen, aspirin, Motrin, all those do is quell the eicosanoids at the cellular level. Well, you can quell those long before it gets to that point. And in the face of excess insulin, because what happens is you're under stress, right? And the body is designed for fight, flight, or freeze, all right? And we're designed to run away from whatever it is for about, you get enough energy and enough blood sugar for about 10, 15 minutes of running away, all right? But what if you're listening to the mainstream news or you're going to your doctor, something that I never do, by the way. I mean, my healthcare is massage, acupuncture, foot reflexology. And when I renew my life insurance, they have to send someone to my house to do, you know, all the cholesterol and the weight and all that. And it's always perfect. So, but if you go to the doctor at this point, it's a fight or flight experience. I mean, now here's primary care. Have you had your Pneumovax vaccine? Have you had your flu vaccine? Have you had your shingles vaccine? No one's asking you about your diet, your exercise, your health. No. They're asking you all these fear-mongering questions. Or if you haven't had your mammogram, then you feel guilty about that kind of thing. So it's just fear, 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 fear. So that means all the time, you have increased epinephrine and cortisol, and then increased insulin, because instead of running away, you feel like eating sugar and chocolate and brownies. And so in the face of high insulin levels and high blood sugar and cortisol, your body is like, it's like it's on prednisone. And if you've ever seen anyone who's on prednisone, who's had cancer and they're taking prednisone, you know their immune system is depleted, their skin gets thin, they get puffy, they put on 20 pounds that they can't lose. And that's what constant stress does to the body. You're literally on steroids all the time. And depression, by the way, which is anger turned inward, it's an independent risk factor for cardiovascular disease, the number one killer of women, and osteoporosis. Amazing, right? I mean, this stuff affects the physical body big time.
Yeah. You know, I'm so glad that I asked you about the anger piece, because it's a really big, important piece. Especially, we just had Jack Canfield on the show the other day, and he was talking about, he just recently got in touch with his emotions and he's allowing himself to cry.
Oh,
and
this is great.
It was fantastic. Right. And we talked about The Secret, and because I felt like in The Secret, the one missing piece was the emotional liberation, the emotional core wounding, the emotional core work.
Totally.
Because, you know, we can't just have the top law of attraction, positive thinking, but if we don't have the feminine feeling, the moon, that deep rage, that deep anger, we don't have that. That's how we're healing, through the feeling, right?
That is the only way. I mean, there is no vision board on the planet that's going to do that work. Too bad, but it's true.
I have to ask you this question. So last night when I was sitting here preparing for this amazing interview, I wanted to articulate this question for this book, as far as the empath is concerned, because I personally am myself a super sensitive psychic empath.
Yeah.
And I have been suicide free now for the last 27 years. But prior to that, and also for my conditioning, from the time I was a little girl, I wanted to commit suicide. From the time I was a little girl up until 27 years ago. So as an empath, now I am looking at, is is it possible that the empaths are so empathic to the collective energy and to the people around them, like I was to my mother, you know, everything that she experienced in utero of not wanting me, me not being there, or me not supposed to be there, and right. and then having to be her caretaker, caretaker as a young girl, not having my emotional needs met. And then that just kept spiraling and spiraling and spiraling. And so many people that commit suicide, they are empaths. And what they really want to kill is not themselves, but the pain. And so I wanted to hear what your take was on suicide and being an empath.
Okay. So what you did, those messages in utero, they go into your bone marrow. They go into your cells. And so what we need to know as an empath is that this stuff is the pain. It's not our pain. Mm. So when we need to reframe our feelings, we are like lint rollers. We're emotional lint rollers. We're picking up the emotions of everybody else, often emotions that they don't even feel. And we are kind of human air purifiers. We're loaded with light, and our job is that we don't need to do anything. See, what we've been taught by our culture is, like you said, need to heal your mother. I had the same, that I need to, my mother was like a caged lion. I mean, there was a part of her, she never should have had five kids. I mean, she was all about being an athlete, and you know, she went to Mount Everest base camp at the age of 84. What the heck was making three meals a day in the 50s about? So, you know, that was like not who she was, but I was the only kid who picked up on this caged lion thing. And then we make a decision as a little kid that this has something to do with us. It has nothing to do with us. It does. It is our, it's the part of the collective that we have come to transform. And once an empath understands that it is not our job to take this on, and all we need is one human who looks at us and says, you're doing great. This is not your job. That's her stuff. The other thing that's interesting, I remember hearing Pia Melody speak years ago, and you know, she wrote Codependent No More. And she also was suicidal. I mean, her story with her mother was beyond belief. She got put in a garbage can every day and fed soured milk. I mean, oh, so bad. And she said she was always suicidal. It was like a blue plume over her head, but she made a decision. It's there, but I will never do it. I will never do it. And she used to be called into the psych ward when someone wanted to commit suicide. And she would just talk to them and say, I completely understand. My friend Kelly Brogan is a holistic psychiatrist. And she says, what I will not do, I will not contract for safety. I will not call the emergency room. That's what obviously all doctors are supposed to do. She said, because that is so disempowering to the person. What's empowering is, I understand how you're feeling. And that is your choice. I mean, in a way, but let me tell you, you're not acting on anything that is yours. It's something in the collective. And the minute what you need to do, and this is Eckhart Tolle's work, you know, where he talks about the pain body. The pain body is so laden, you've got to move aside from the pain body and observe it. That begins to dissolve the pain body. This is the pain, the pain. It's not your pain. It has nothing to do with you. So just for the next 5 minutes, how about you just observe it? Just observe it. And an empath is kind of the new normal. We're the new normal. We're feeling everything to heal it. But you got to feel it within yourself and stay with the feeling. Now, Matt Kahn is a spiritual teacher who's quite funny. And I love what he says. When you're suicidal or you're rageful or you're sad, he said, all a feeling wants is to be felt. So you say to your anger or to your despair, you are nailing it. No one has ever done despair quite as well as you're doing it right now. what you it's like a called extension in psychiatry, where you're making it so bad, you know, that it gets funny. So you just say to yourself, nobody has done pain as well as you're doing. No one's done depression as well as you are doing it. Mm-hmm. You bring in humor. And, you know, here's the thing. I read, and I know you do too, a lot of books by healers and psychics and this kind of thing. And one of the guys that I had on my radio show several years ago was a very renowned intuitive. And he said with teenagers, they're impulsive. And they will often act on the suicide thing. And as soon as they've done it, they will realize what a mistake it was. So he spends a lot of time talking to parents about, you know, he's connected with the kid on the other side, saying, oh, my God, I didn't realize. And I'm so sorry. And I didn't mean this. So what we all have to do is, what is that little moment of this is the pain. This is you. How do we separate those two for just a moment so you can begin to dissolve the pain body and realize this is not you? In women, the pain body comes up premenstrually. It comes up postpartum. It comes up during perimenopause. And I like to think of it as it is our individual job to transform the pain body that we have been handed. We're air purifiers, and to just transform that. And if you do nothing but that, you have served the planet as much as if you created a 501c3.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, this book right here, like I said, it's a recommended reading for the entire world so that they, you know, you said in here, it's a smorgasbord of having a toolbox for so many different practices. And I really recommend that everybody gets this book and works on themselves, because it's a really awesome book. We have just a few minutes left. And before I turn it over to Dana, because I know she's dying to ask you another question, I want to ask you, Dr. Christiane, would you please come back again in about 6 months and grace us with your presence? Maybe your new book, would you?
Oh, I would love to, because that's coming out in May of 2020.
May of 2020.
And it's the post Me Too book. So, you know, 94 was when the one you've got sitting on your shelf came out in 94. And it was such a huge thing for me. I mean, I'd go into the hospital and expect them to kick me out immediately. I mean, I was so afraid, because every woman who tells the truth is terrified. Because no one has believed us for, you know, the last 5,000 years.
Well, how do I secure this? Yes, what you said, you're coming back in 6 months. I want to be able to have a contact. How do I do that?
Yes. Okay. So you just contact, you can go to our website and contact us.
Okay.
We will see it, or go right through Hay House, my publisher, and they'll arrange it. Yeah.
Okay. I will do it. Thank you so much. I'm going to turn this now over to Dana, because I know she wants to say something.
Okay. Great, Dana.
Thank you. I wanted to say, if you can see this is our grassroots Check Your Girls movement.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Have you seen this before?
Never have, but I'll tell you what one of my patients with breast cancer said to me years ago. She said, every day I, you know, cup the girls and I say, girls, you're safe with me. It was like a sweet. So this is like, yeah, check your girls.
I love that. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
I want
with love, you know, check them with love, like get the hands together and get the energy going and check them with love.
Yes. Yeah. Take health and heart and hands with our manual digits. So claiming, calling the power back. What I wanted to say about you and Jack being the love child of First Lady Focus Day is you have the whole book dedicated to put yourself first in chapter 6. And Jack Canfield wrote the book, Power of Focus. So that's how First Lady Focus Day is born. What I wanted to say, I first identify as a supremely sensitive person, highly sensitive person.
Yeah.
I was learned by Dr. Aaron and Elaine Aaron and Dr. Judith Orloff on Empath. What I love.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yours, what is so beautiful is yours is all about inclusion. No one takes the bench with yours. You have room for everybody in here. You're not caught up on the formula of the codependent and the abuser or the addict or the empath and the narcissist. You have room for anybody, anyone that drains your energy. That's what I love about yours. And the formula has been typically women with these, and I don't like to say it, but that's what I love about yours. No labels. You make room for strong women. You're talking about women that are justices, that strong women with super traits. You make the difference here with conscientiousness of competitiveness, women that stand firm, that are not quitters, that are not codependent. This is because for so long, because I heard you say that on the Chris Work show, had you stayed in your marriage, you would have ended up with breast cancer. Strong women end up in these situations. So I want to give a shout out for the strong women out there that end up in unhealthy partnerships.
That's right. And we've never been shown any other way. And that's why every one of us who does this and who says, I know how this happened, I do not blame myself, but from moving forward, I take full responsibility. And that's what your movement does. You're taking full responsibility for your creations, but not getting, you know, washed away with, I'm a codependent, I'm a this, I'm an addict. Yeah. By the way, I just have to say this. Anyone who is addicted to drugs or alcohol, the drugs and alcohol will make them into an energy vampire because addiction has all of the characteristics.
Including marijuana?
Yes, I would say marijuana, the people who require it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, if you're smoking grass all the time, I want to say this about marijuana. The plant spirit itself is using you as a host. Mm-hmm. It's keeping the plant spirit alive. You're the host. They're like a parasite. So, you know, I'm all about, if you need a little THC to sleep, a little CBD, that is quite wonderful. We all are born with an endocannabinoid system in our bodies. But when you use anything addictively, even vacuuming, to stay out of touch with what you know and what you feel, that's like an energy vampire. Energy has you. So you want to come back to the power of yourself. And so interesting, in the movie Frozen 2, it's what it's all about.
This, I'm going to go see it.
You got to see it. I mean, I'm there with my 4-year-old granddaughter and I'm saying, what is this? Hmm. This is like, you know, from the mouths of babes.
Oh, that's beautiful. What I love about this book is you dedicated it to light workers everywhere.
Yeah.
You are a woman way ahead of your time. So grateful that you have come to the planet to speak your voice, to empower and inspire so many women around the world. You are the leading edge of women that we can trust, because that is truly who you are, a bold truth teller that is unapologetic, that is not afraid, that is helping us heal the wounds of our past, of our the whole old world consciousness, right? That we're now moving into a brand new decade. And I am just so honored that you said yes to be here on the planet and that you're also here on the Cornelia Stephanie Show with Dana Terrio. I'm beyond grateful.
Thank you. And thank you for doing the work with your own ovaries to uplift millions. Both of you, Dana with your breasts, you with your ovaries. This is women's wisdom, isn't it? And women's power to take the pain we've all inherited and transform it. And look what you've done with it. It's
and
beautiful.
You have given us the permission, because it was exactly that permission slip. It's, you said it. I agree. It takes one person. It takes one person to stand by your side. It takes one person to hold the bar high. It takes one person to help you reach higher. And you do that for so many women in the world. It's an honor and a pleasure. Everybody go get this book. Are you an empath so that you can truly heal the wounds of your past? Because you've been targeted, just like Dr. Christiane Northrup said, the empaths are targeted.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody. We wish you a wonderful brand new beginning, 2020. Thank you so much, Christiane Northrup, for being here. Dana, our beloved audience, when you're seeing this video on YouTube, comment underneath, talk to us, go to Amazon, get the book, get the link, get the audiobook, spread this message, get it into the school systems, get it all over the place so that we can, as a collective, really heal that core wound. We love you all so much. Thank you so much.
You.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Lady Boss, Women Inspiring Women. featuring leading edge entrepreneurs who are putting the focus on empathic leadership in today's modern day world. Text the word Cornelia to the number 22828 and receive her weekly newsletters. For more information on Cornelia Stephanie and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to corneliastephanie.com.